It's the first chapter, beginning at the 9th verse. I think I'll read there instead of from the second. I think I'll start at the 9th of the first verse. Samuel, which is sometimes referred to as the first book of Kings. All right, I want to read just a little bit to you. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was bitter of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now, Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way, and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early, and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked of him the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all of his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up. For she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young, and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. They that were full hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive, and he bringeth down to the grave, and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the law of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Now we notice here in the writings of the Word of God The one thing that Samuel points out in the third verse of the second chapter, where he said, "Let not arrogancy come out of your lips." He said, "For the Lord is a God of knowledge." Now, this is one thing that I have tried to get a hold of during my lifetime of serving Jesus. And that is that God is a God of knowledge. I cannot agree with people who take the outlook that God, just serving God, is just any old way. I cannot take the same outlook that they take. I believe that whatever we do for God should be done with great skill and great fervency. And I believe that it should be the very desire of our heart and the first thing in our life, rather than just partially doing something for God or being half-hearted. I have no confidence in any man's experience with God that's half-hearted in his commission. Whether it be to work in an office for God, whether it be just to witness and pass out tracts, or whether it be to preach the gospel. I have no confidence in that experience. Because having been acquainted with God down through the years, I know one thing, and that is God doesn't take secondhand things. God doesn't take things that are dwarfed. God doesn't take things with spots and blemishes. In the Old Testament, we're told that a dwarf cannot enter into the congregation of the righteous. And that natural dwarf indicates to us today, it points out spiritually to us today, that if we start out for God in a Christian life, and then we become dwarfed in our way of living before God, then God rejects us. He will not have us. We have to be completely whole. And the Bible teaches that the sacrifice in the Old Testament was without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. And when the Bible speaks of the bride, it is the same way. She must be without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. And that we are the Lamb of God, killed all the day long, accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Then we must be lambs without spot, wrinkle, or without blemish, or God will not receive us. So then to be half-hearted will never do. I do not agree with the hypocritical way of life. I do not agree with preachers that preach that you can get by with anything and not live holy. The Bible teaches in the Old Testament that cursed is the man that sitteth alight by the dead. And by the Bible speaks of those people out in the world being dead, twice dead, and plucked up by the root. Whereas Jesus tells us that we are the light of the world. His word is the light of the world. And when we tell those people that they are all right, we are setting alight by the dead. And in the Old Testament, it was abomination in the sight of God. So then I believe that we should be holy people. I believe that we should be just people. I believe that we should be upright people. And that with all of our heart, we should serve the Lord Jesus Christ. If we profess to be a Christian, the Bible said, "Let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity." If we profess to be Christians, then let our light so shine that men might see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Now, I believe that we should glorify God. I believe that we should have good works, that those works will glorify our Heavenly Father. If we do not have any good works, I do not feel that we are living a Christian life. But the Bible tells us to love in word, that or in deed, that is in works, not in word. For we are to love by works. One writer said, "Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works." In other words, he said, you convince me of what you believe, having nothing to show it. And I'll convince you of what I believe by the manifestation of that which I have done. You can see my testimony. I am thankful because we can truthfully be a Christian. We can truthfully be a Christian. In the midst of such a hypocritical age, in the midst of such an hour or such a time, in the midst of a crooked, perverse generation, we can shine as a light, so that men shall see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Amen. I like what Jimmy Carter said. Or I understand he made the statement just recently concerning the doctors and the lawyers.
said, we in this day we're living in, said, they don't want to help the poor. They don't want to stand with the poor, said, all of their labor, all of their concern is for the rich man and the dollar. I like that. That's the truth. See, but he said our concern or their concern should be for the poor. And doctors one time had their patients at heart, whereas they don't anymore, Jimmy said. And how do you know that the doctors and lawyers of this world are only typical of preachers of today? One time the preachers had the people at heart. And they were not trying to be pretty boys, famous. They were not trying to have new cars and homes and all the refineries of the world. Whereas God will give you all of those things if you serve Him, seeking the kingdom, all of these things will be added unto you. But they were not interested in that. They were interested in being a loyal shepherd for the cause of Jesus Christ. And they were concerned about the people of God and the welfare of the people. And they spent their entire life trying to help them. But today, look at the doctors. They're a good example. They're typical of the preachers. The preachers don't care about the flock anymore. They don't care about the people anymore. They're not interested in the herd of the people anymore. Their concern is not with the people anymore. All the people mean to them anymore is just somebody to get another dollar out of so that they can enlarge the borders of their garments and grow into the greatness of this life and have more financial income and prosperity. But God said, one day I'll take those shepherds away and I'll raise up shepherds after my own heart. I believe that we are living in the hour when God is doing that right now. I believe that we've come to the hour and to the moment when God is about to do away with the shepherds that's been taken from the flock and about to put shepherds in their place that will feed the flock of God. I believe that. And it thrills my heart because I love the people of God. I love the people of God. I love people anyway. People mean something to me. They're very dear to me, very precious to me. I think about jewels. I think about automobiles. I think about the stars. I think about all that we have around us that's so valuable. But then when I come to a human being, I thank God there is nothing to be compared with a human being. Think all of the great things of life, whether it be the animals, whether it be the life, vegetation, whether it be the stars and the moon, whether it be the great ocean with its great billows, all of that was made for one purpose, and that's for God's created human being. Everything was made for a human being. So then the human being is the preeminence of all things. How wonderful and great and mighty to be a human being. Hallelujah. Nothing has the opportunity that the human being has. We have the opportunity to become gods, standing as an individual. We, nothing else in the earth has an opportunity. Nothing can say that it can become a god. A tree cannot become a god. An animal cannot become a god. But we have the power to become God. Jesus said, ye are gods, but ye shall die like men. I'm always reminded of this, and I repeat it so much that it might sink deep down into your heart. God has created a human being for one purpose. And what is that purpose? To take that human being and to make him into a god. For no other purpose did God create him. God of heaven, the great eternal God of heaven, the God that spoke the world into existence, the God that just took the stars from his fingertips and threw them out into the great galaxy, God who scooped out the ocean bed with one scoop with his mighty hand. God has made a human being. And why did he make that human being? That human being might be in his glorious image. That human being might walk up to him face to face and say, my name is John. Hallelujah! A human being that could walk up into the presence of God and say, my name is George. God wanted it that way. The great God of heaven, the great light under which no man can approach, no man has seen or can see. Jesus Christ alone dwelling in that light hath immortality. But God so loved that he made a human being. And in making that human being, he made him for the purpose of coming before him with thanksgiving and enjoying the work and labor of God's own hand. It is such a thrilling experience to know that this is true. And God, knowing that he was the great light, or that he is the great light, that no man can approach unto him, he put himself within a human body called Jesus Christ and tabernacles in that body so that he can walk among mankind. And being in that body, that great God that's untouchable, that's incomprehensible, yet through Jesus Christ we comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length. Amen. In the Lord Jesus, we're able to know God. We who could not understand God, and people who did not know what God is or was, through Jesus Christ, as he laid hands on the sick and healed the sick, we see our God. We see our God demonstrating himself through a human body to where we won't be ignorant as to what he is and what he's like. And there he is, God. We see God. There is God tabernacling in a human body. John got excited when John got into the Spirit. John said, "My God, my Lord, my Savior." He said, "I saw the tabernacle of God come down to the earth and dwell among mankind." Said, "I saw it descending out of heaven, coming right down on the earth, there to dwell among mankind." God tabernacling in a human body. Can you believe it? Amen. Hiding himself behind the badger skin, as the Old Testament said. Hiding himself behind the badger skin. Standing in the tabernacle and the holies of holies. God, the eternal God, looking through these little eyes at mankind. Walking the earth, Jesus the Christ. He was in their midst. The world was made by him and the world knew him not. But to as many as could recognize him and believe, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to as many as believed on his name. Tabernacling, walking among mankind, Jesus the Christ. And to think that God wanted me to be equal with Jesus, wants you to be equal with Jesus. Said, "I'm going to create a human being, and I'm going to make that human being for my glory, that he might be the express image of my person, that he might be the expression of this great light of which I am, that all the world may see it. And I'm going to manifest myself through a human body. I'm going to make me a chief creation." A chief creation, that's what Adam should have been. How many of you know that? "I'm going to make myself a chief creation. I'm going to make that the example of what I want to do. I'm going to make that the example of what all men ought to be. I'm going to make myself a chief creation called Jesus. And I'm going to set the example. And I'm going to make a pattern. And I'm going to cut out all the rest by that. Made me, and he made you for one purpose, Christian friend. And that is to be the manifested God of heaven and of earth." Do you follow me? That we who are human beings, though we have fallen to a beast level through the fall of Adam, yet God intends for us to rise above that beast level and come back to the place of Adam and far excel the place of Adam until we are God's manifested in the flesh. That's why the Jews couldn't understand Jesus. See, the Jews was teaching ritualistics and laws, and they knew nothing about the Holy Scriptures. They did not understand revelated prophecy. All they knew was a natural word of prophecy that a man's coming, he's going to be the Messiah. They could not understand that the Christ in that man's heart was the one that they were looking for. They could not understand what God was doing. And they could not understand that God was going to set up a spiritual kingdom.
They couldn't understand that. When he said, they said, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, it's not given to you to know that time.
They thought he was going to set up a natural government. That he was going to sit down on a throne out here in a natural world. Whereas he really is going to do that. Jesus really will in the millennium. But that's what they felt. That's what they understood. But the Christ on the inside of the tabernacle confounded the Jews. As he said to them, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation, but the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of heaven is here, Jesus said, on the inside of you. And he said, confounded them. He said, and the law and the prophets were until John. But since that time, the kingdom of heaven has been preached. It is at hand. And men press their way into the kingdom of God. The Lord tells us that God, our God, has translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. And we are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the restoring of all things, which is the millennium. And here we stand. Why has God made us? They said, Jesus, we don't stone you for a good work. Said, what good work have I done? Is it raising the dead? Is it opening the blind eyes? Is it unstopping the deaf ears? For which one of these things do you bind yourself together or clan up to stone me? Why do you do this? They said, for a good work, we don't stone you. Then he said, well, tell me why you do stone me. They said, because you, being a man, make yourself God. You want to get some stones thrown at you? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Go testify. Tell them who you are. The Bible said they stoned Stephen to death. You know why they do that? They're not spiritual. Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. He got a revelation. He made tried to make them understand. And the Jewish people, which were so carnal, they couldn't understand. And Paul said, your blood be on your own head. He said, I'll go to the Gentiles. They wanted to kill him. They beat him. But listen, why did he put me down here to begin with? God wanted fellowship. God wanted to be a brother. Isn't that wonderful? The first brother. The first brother. God wanted to be a brother. A brother to you. He wanted to be a brother. The first brother of many brethren. So he came down in a human body and tabernacled in a human body so that he could be a brother just like you. Labor with his own hands. Drank of the water. Sat and drank wine at the Last Supper. Just like a man. God, who wanted to be like mankind. Isn't that something? And then he looked at Brother Pike, and he looked at you, and you, and you. And he said to you, I want to make you a God. I want to make you a God. Jesus said, for what good work do you stone me? They said, being a man, you make yourself God. Jesus said, all I said was, I'm the Son of God. But I've said so many times, they understood that a dog brings dogs into the world. They understood that a lion begets lions. And they know that if he said he was the Son of God, that means he was born of God. And that a God begets gods. If you're born of God, you are a God. And they knew that. And they wanted to stone him to death. What is a God? A God is one that knows all things. Jesus said, I've made all things known unto you. Whatsoever my Father's made known unto me, I've made known unto you. Said, you have the minds of Christ. You have an unction from the Holy One that you should know all things. Come on, folks. Talking about the Word now. What did Jesus say unto them? What is a God? A God is one that cannot die. Jesus said, you heard my words. You pass from life, from death unto life. You shall never come into condemnation. Talking about a God now. A God. What is a God? One who has everything he wants. Jesus said, from here on out, you're going to have the desire of your heart. Whatever you say and don't doubt, it shall be yours. What is a God? One who owns all things. Jesus said, all things are yours. whether life, death, or whatever, he said, you're complete in me. A God is one without blemish. Isn't that right? He has saved, justified, sanctified, and the Bible said glorified his saints. Not saved us from one revival to another. But the Bible said God has sanctified once and for all by the opening up of the body of Jesus at Calvary. Man is without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. God. And the Bible said being justified by faith, we have peace with God through that atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am an overcomer. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even my faith. I am an overcomer. How am I an overcomer? I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. That is the finished works of Calvary. What he done for me. And the words of my testimony in that I testify to what he done. For Christ is the high priest of my confession. Isn't that right? Come on, folks. I said, God, Jesus Christ, is the high priest of my confession. Wherever I put my foot, he will give it to me. He is the high priest of my confession. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. What can you confess with your heart? Jesus said to confess with your lips, but your heart is far from me. The confession of the heart. He is the high priest of our confession. If in my thoughts, because I'm always harassed by evil spirits, if in my thoughts I confess defeat, then I am a defeated man. If in my thoughts I confess sickness, I am a sick man. If in my thoughts I confess poverty, I am a man that's poor. But if I confess the promises of God, that God's blessing maketh rich, and no sorrow, that God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. That God has given me all things that pertain unto life. That God will not let my feet slip. That the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Yea, he maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. You know what the green pastures is? The Bible said all flesh is as grass. See, God's people, likened to grass, they are the green pastures. Is that right? Sure, because the Bible said God's trees are full of life, sap. Where is the still waters? The Bible speaks of the beast coming up out of many waters, troubled waters. But God's people, he said, peace be still. Be still and know that I'm God. Still waters. You know, you're not troubled waters. You're not worried about this, that, something else, and something going to happen to you, and having done wrong, afraid they're going to pounce on you. The Bible said the righteous is as bold as a lion. How do you know that? So then, we are still waters. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Rejoice forevermore. Still waters. We are the still waters of God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Oh, I like that. Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of this death. I say again, what is the valley? This world when you look down from heaven. And what is the shadow of death? Satan and his evil spirits as they move over this valley. Yea, though I walk through this valley of the shadow of that death, yet I will fear no evil, David said. Hallelujah. Why? Behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Why then should I be afraid? Let not your heart be troubled. David said, my heart is fixed in God. Evil tidings shall not trouble me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why is it, David, that you'll fear no evil? He said, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What is his rod and his staff? The Word and the Holy Ghost. The Word and the Holy Ghost said, the Holy Ghost will be a comforter to you. He will bring to your remembrance whatsoever the Word hath taught you. See, thy rod and thy staff, God, your word, your consolation of your spiritual touch. It shall inspire me and lift me up, and I shall take confidence in your word, and I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence that all of my enemies may see that you bless me. And David said, and my cup runs over that I might give others a drink. And the deep calleth unto the deep, and the waters spout of God. For out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Down in the valley, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why should I then be afraid? For if my ways please God, the Bible tells me he will make my enemies to be at peace with me. The Bible teaches that they'll come out one way before me and flee seven ways before me. Is that right? The Bible teaches that he'll put the fear of me upon all of them that are in the land. They shall be afraid of me because they know I'm called by his name. Isn't that Bible? So then, with David of old, I say my heart is fixed, and evil tidings shall not trouble me. But I will rejoice forevermore. This is the day the Lord hath made, the song said. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What day is it? It's the day of his rest. The Sabbath of the Holy One. He that hath entered into the rest of the Lord has ceased from his own work. He's not struggling anymore. He's not trying to justify himself anymore. He's not trying to be holy anymore by something that he's doing. Though he lives holy every day, though he watches every thought, though he casts down imagination, though he brings every thought into subjection to the obedience of Christ, being perfect as much as lies within him, as Paul said, blameless touching the law. But yet he does not rely on that. He places no confidence in that. He does not look to his own works as the Jews did. Said, lest your works exceed that of the Pharisees and scribes. What is that excelling work? The works of Jesus Christ that was finished from the foundation of the world. They said, and Lord, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, I am the works of God. They were finished from the foundation of the world. Believe on me. Isn't that wonderful? I can be strong. Why should I fear evil? The Bible said, let him that is weak say I'm strong. If cancer is eating into your body, if a disease is eating at your body, and you feel weak on the inside, and you know that you're about to die and your heart's about to stop on you at times, submit unto the Lord. Draw nigh unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. All you've got to do is one thing. Turn, confess, and then believe on him. Believe on him. And the Bible said, let the weak say I'm strong. Say, Lord, I know naturally speaking I can't hardly go. I can't hardly walk. Lord, according to the word, according to the words of life, I am strong, God. Like a young lion that roars in the morning when he stretches himself out. I am strong in the power of your might. When you feel weak, like a Christian, you know, sometimes you get cast down and you feel like you can't hardly go and everything's assailing your mind and you feel pushed and shoved every which way. You, after a while, you're just so tired, you weary, you just can't hardly go. And then all of a sudden you say, wait a minute. Oh, God, it's not of my righteousness. Lord, you said that you was made sin for me at Calvary, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. You said I'm complete in you. You said I'm without spot, without wrinkle, or without blemish, and that the bride hath made herself ready through the atoning blood of Christ. And you say, Lord, hallelujah. I felt so weak. I felt so cast down, but Lord, I'm not weak. I'm not defeated. I'm not cast down. You said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. You're still here with me. I'm just as strong as I ever was. I just forgot. Just for a few minutes, I forgot. All right. Now, this is our confidence in him. That whatever I ask of him, I know that he hears me. I know that he will give me the desires of my heart. I know that I have the petition that I desire of God because he promised it to me. So then God, the Bible said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. I don't have to get something good from God and worry about my baby dying, worrying about my home burning up, worrying about some bad thing happening to me just because God has given me a little sip and radiance of life. I don't have to go around in fear, afraid something's going to happen just because God's blessed me a little bit. Somebody uses that scripture. You think you're standing, you better watch out, you're going to fall. That's not Bible. That's not Bible, it's the devil. The Bible says if you think you stand, that's wonderful. Keep on standing. When you've done all you can to stand, stand steadfast in the faith. It's just the devil. When you think you stand, he said, keep on standing. And when you've done all that you can to stand and you feel like you're going down, he said, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, having on the helmet of salvation, taking the shield of faith that you might be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. When you think you stand, he said, gird your loins up real good and don't give the devil a chance. You got him on a run now. So you don't give him a chance to knock you down. When you think you stand, take heed now. Lest he slip in on you and trip you. Lest he do something evil and undermine you and cause you to fall. Come on, stand, Jesus said. If you think you stand, that's good. Just be sure that you're standing. Don't go to thinking it in your head. Get it down in your heart. Stand therefore. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? And so then we are made to become gods. Gods from the human dust. And I'm going to close in just a minute or two now. From the dust of the earth, God created man. Created to become a god. What is a god? One who can never die. God, so that we can walk through heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Down here, you know, the devil, he scares us and shakes us up. Though God has promised very staunchly with his word, yet we still shift and roll about in every way. But won't it be wonderful when you get to heaven, and there you can stand in the presence of God and walk down the streets of heaven in the glory avenues, walk around and sing the songs of Zion. Say, hallelujah! Long live the King! Hallelujah! Long live the King! The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings! You don't hear any sirens and nobody's going to lock you up. You don't see any fires. You don't see any cripples. You don't see any blind eyes. You walk by and here's blind Bartimaeus. The old blind Bartimaeus is dancing and shouting. Hallelujah! Glory to God. What's the matter with that fella? I was blind! But the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings came by. I can see. And the cripple running and jumping like the crippled man at the gate called beautiful. He says, I was crippled. But Jesus came by. Jesus came by. See, not afraid to stand up, you know, and shout victory and have somebody put their finger on the end of your nose and say, be careful now, you think you stand, you're going to fall. Just say, you know, sit here, you don't fall. All that's over. All that's over. All that's over. The old booger's gone. All that's over. No need to tell any more booger stories, all that's gone. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Brother, why do we have to wait till we get to heaven? We've already been translated into the kingdom of God. Why do I have to wait to enjoy the presence of God? And I believe his word. His word tells me he will never leave me nor forsake me. The Bible said if you do these things, you shall never fall. Why can't I take him at his word? This is God. This is heaven. I've been translated into the kingdom of God. We're waiting to wit the redemption of our body. I say again and again, folks, it's not that we're waiting for the redemption of our body. Jesus paid the price of the redemption of the body. But we're waiting to believe his promises, just like we're waiting to believe, to comprehend, to wit, riches. Isn't that right? You that are poor, is it true that you're waiting, listening to the word,
so that you can wit, comprehend, grasp, or accept your riches? Sure, because the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. You that are sick, isn't it true that you're trying to wit the redemption of the body to that extent to kill that cancer in the body? Sure.
Why, the price is paid at Calvary. Then why not just wit the redemption of the body and say, God, I've got health because you gave me health. I've got eternal life because you gave me eternal life. I've got eternal riches and blessings because you gave me eternal riches and blessings. I'm going to think right. I'm going to think right. I'm going to get this mountain off of me and get this load off of me. Hallelujah. I'm tired of being a burnout bub. I'm going to radiate and push the darkness back. Shine the light so men can see my good works and glorify my Father which is in heaven. We are made, Christian friend, to be a God that can't die, a God that can't suffer, a God that can't be poor, a God that can stand like a rock. That's what God wanted to do. He said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. You know, there ain't no natural temple. That means that we are spiritual temples in the kingdom of God in this earth. We uphold the name of Jesus. And the way of our God in all of the world and everybody leans upon us and rests upon us. He said, if you can be staunch in your conviction, I'll make people to lean upon you and you'll be a pillar. I'll make my lively stones to trust in you. Your strength from God. You'll be a pillar in the kingdom of my God and uphold righteousness to the nations. You love Jesus? Let's stand together. Now, I appreciate you very much. Appreciate your kind attention. I just can't seem to preach without getting excited. If I go to teach, I get excited. I really believe what I'm saying. I believe it's true. I've proven it. The Bible said, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. I've proven it. And I can't help but just love it because I've proven it. So then, I'm asking you to work with me. Help me. How are you going to do that? I need your help. Say, well, you need our help financially. I don't know of anybody that couldn't use financial help in the church or out of the church. They could use it. Most everybody. Did you know, once you get a human being, you don't have to worry about their finance. Once you get the heart of a human being, well, he'd give you the shoes off of his feet. That's why God's going to thrash the hide of some of these preachers, is because they have, in a Nicolaitan doctrine, took constraint over the children of God and become a lord unto them. For constraint by filthy lucre. Or for filthy lucre. See, God don't want us to do that, but rather as an example unto the flock. And he don't want us to be in sickness and poverty. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be overcomers. We sang that little song, I'll overcome. I'll overcome. See, he wants us to be overcomers. Have a victory. Don't be sick. Don't be sick. You say, but Brother Pike, I can't help but be sick. Yes, you can help but be sick. See, he is the high priest of your confession. If you confess sickness, then are you sick? Because the devil has an open door. If you confess defeat, then are you defeated? If you confess poverty, then you're in poverty. But make yourself practice, struggle. The Bible said contend, that's fight with the devil. Contend for the faith. Fight, struggle till you make those negative thoughts move out. How do you know that the carnal mind is the negative? This is the negative. All God ever put that up there for, he just slipped it into the camera just to get a good shot so he could develop a positive down here. See, the mind of Christ is a positive. He wants to express his own image. He just takes a little snapshot of himself up here. See, in the dark room. The Bible said, the Lord said, turn my people from darkness to light, Paul. This is the dark room. See, in your head. To be carnally minded is death. And the Bible teaches that the carnal mind is darkness. It's enmity with God. No light of God can fellowship it. So it's the dark room. And all he does, Christ slips into the dark room. That's why he went down the bowels of the earth. He slips in there and he catches the pitcher. When he catches that pitcher, then the Bible said, until Christ be formed within us, we just be patient.
And after a while, that little negative, he'll slip it down here. Hallelujah. And he'll develop it through the blood, spilt blood, and the Holy Spirit. And he'll develop it, and all of a sudden it won't be you that lives, but it'll be Christ that lives within you. And that old negative will fade away and go back to the dust. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. But see, we are not born of mankind. The Bible said he was not born of blood nor flesh nor the will of man. It wasn't a human union that brought him into the world. See, that's not it. We are begotten of God. We are begotten. You understand what I'm saying, Christian friend? We are not born. That is a natural life that must pass away. But we are begotten of the Word. Jesus said, I have begotten you. Paul said, I have begotten you. See, I've begotten you in the Word. Jesus was the begotten Son of God, the first brother of many begottens. He was God's only begotten. But through that seed, there has been many begotten of God. Through the Word, the seed. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, if he's the only begotten Son of God, how then can you say that we are the begotten? Because there is but one begotten. And I am bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I've said this so many times, and it sounds comical, but it's true. That in the days of Noah, there was only 8 saved. And in the days when they come out of Sodom and Gomorrah, there's about 4 saved. One of them turned to a pillar of salt. And then when they come out of Egypt, there were but 2 saved. Joshua and Caleb. All the elders died in the wilderness. They took the children into Canaan land. I know somebody said, wait a minute. A lot of people went into Canaan, but there were children. They raised up the children. The elders died in the wilderness. Talking about them that come out of Egypt, turned back into Egypt in their heart. Now it stands to reason that if there was 8 saved to start with, then at the great calamity of Sodom and Gomorrah, there were but 4 saved. God cut it in halves. And then coming out of Egypt, there were but 2 saved. God cut it in half again. That makes me know that in this day, there's only one going to be saved. Just one. For the Bible said that the promise was made not unto seeds as of many, but as of one. God did not promise the kingdom to anybody but his Son. Unless you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, you can't be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll shake hands with brothers, yes. We'll love brother, we'll submit brother to brother, walk in the light as he is in the light, and have fellowship one with another. The kingdom of God in the holy household of faith. You love Jesus? Sing this little chorus with me. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Sing it with me. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And though men, can you raise your hands up to heaven? There is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Like I said at the early part of the service, a little song was On Top of Old Smoky. By courting too slow, I lost my true lover long, long ago. But you know what? There was another scene. One time a man was on top of Old Smoky. He was caught up in the radiance of God. A man by the name of Moses. Caught up in the radiance of God. But though he was caught up in the radiance of God, as the cloud come down and the mountain smoke with fire, yet, like the song said, he didn't get to go into Canaan. He didn't get to go into Canaan. But then there was somebody else that did. There was somebody else that did. Jesus had to die and suffer without the gates that the Christ might go in. Isn't that right? Moses as we would say, suffered without the gates, that Joshua might go in. Today, the Jews have suffered without the gates, that the church, the bride among the Gentiles, might go in. I'm glad I'm in the kingdom of God. Are you in the kingdom of God? Are you? Let's don't court too slow. His brother Raph said up here, let's really get in and mean business with God. Get away. Love Him. Tell Him of your love before it's too late. For when He withdraws, the sunshine of life is gone forever. The hope and radiance of eternal existence will never come again. Like the dew of Hermon, laying heavily upon your branches in the early morning time, let's enjoy the presence of God while we can. Let the dewdrops of heaven wet our branches, and let's produce much fruit for His glory. Let's stand steadfast in the faith. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. You got all power over the powers of the enemy. Nothing can hurt you. Take the shield of faith and quench the fire darts of the wicked. All of them. One more time, let's sing this. I'll let you go. Oh, there's room at the cross.